Hey, heads up, thirsty listeners. This episode contains explicit content. Are we all clear on that? All right, let's go drink some f***ing beer.
Once on my birthday, people were buying me drinks left and right, and it was just, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. So I was like, thanks so much, and I took the shot, and I threw it right over my shoulder, and it hit some poor guy right in the eyeball.
What was it a shot of?
Tequila.
Ooh.
You're listening to Pubcast Worldwide.
What's up, man?
What's up?
Hey, dude, give me a beer.
We're fucking out of beer.
What do you mean we're out?
Greetings, thirsty listeners, and welcome to this episode of Pubcast Worldwide, the podcast where we get to know interesting people around the world, chatting with them over beers, cocktails, and other libations at the coolest pubs, bars, and breweries on the planet. I'm your host, Chris Lukey, a recently converted alt beer fan, a serial event planner, and a podcast interview referee. In this episode of Flight School here on the Pubcast, we are taking it back to our home base of San Francisco to talk beer with Paul Dowacek and Mark DeVito of Standard Deviant Brewing. If you've listened before, you know that I'm a fan of a good beer pun, and I sometimes refer to this show as Unfiltered. And that is certainly the case with Paul and Mark. So, what are the three things you can expect from today's episode? First, since this is a flight school episode of the show, most of the talk is about beer. But in this one, a lot of the focus is around styles that aren't getting much attention from the mainstream beer scene today, like alt beers, Kolsch, and other more traditional German-style brews. These are some of the styles of beer that the guys at Standard Deviant love, and they are certainly doing them justice in their tap room. Second, you'll learn a bit about Standard Deviant Brewing and San Francisco nightlife in the vibrant Mission District neighborhood where these guys are located. And third, you're going to get a lot of horsing around. Verbal jabs go flying in every direction from start to finish, and I think you'll get a kick out of the energy that Paul and Mark bring to this interview. So I'm keeping it short this week. With that, I'm excited to head to the brewery. Get ready for plenty of pale ales and running gags in this episode, and maybe grab a beer for yourself as you listen along. Without further ado, it's time to hang out with Paul and Mark over at San Francisco's Standard Deviant Brewing. Oh, no!
Oh, wow. Look. These are really good chicharrones.
Chicharuchas? Yeah. Oh, it's good in here. It's real nice in here. Oh, that's some good chewing.
Mm. Oh, man.
You know that thing where you listen to your voice and it sounds weird?
Yeah, it's...
Mine sounds weird, but it sounds much better than the voice that I hear in my head. I never knew my voice sounded this good to other people.
You sound great.
This is great. Which beer are we kicking off with?
We got to take a break. It's 420.
It's 420. Sorry. It actually is 420. We have to take a break.
And we're out.
I brought out a few pale ales here. Why don't we start with the Callista pale?
Oh, great.
What do you think about that?
They all look the same. Which one is it?
This is the Callista. I've got them all.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thanks for being on the show.
It's a single hop pale ale.
Hmm. Relatively hoppy for a pale ale. A little stronger than most pales I've had. Is that accurate?
No.
Yeah. I don't want to insult the host or anything.
No. Bring it. I'm ready. As long as I know that on the front end, I can dish it right back.
Good.
Mark, you want to take this one or should I?
You can take this one.
Oh, okay. I think in today's world of very assertive hop pales and IPAs, this one falls kind of squarely in the middle, I'd say. I'm new to professional brewing, so I'm just checking out a bunch of hops and thought it would be a great idea to do single hop beers for a couple rounds. For me, just to try them out, see how they taste and smell and do in beer, what their bitterness is.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think it's cool for customers too, because it's a little bit educational. Some beers, if you read the label and you get this mixture of hops, it's hard as a consumer to like go seek it elsewhere, right? Kind of thing. And then this was like just a new hop that I really wanted to try just by the description of it. So,
and which hop did you say it was?
It is the Callista hop.
Callista?
Yeah.
I haven't come across that one too often.
Yeah, it comes out of Germany. It's new within the last couple years. And, you know, I think the Germans are known to be very traditional in their hop flavors. Mm-hmm. and like the noble sort of hop variety that people talk about, which is described as spicy and garden, like floral, earthy kind of. And that's like what you'll find in most like lagers, pilsners. Like these guys are crossing all of those with like newer hops and citrus and, you know, all the sort of new world flavors that we think of. Yeah. And this is one of those. And I think it's like really nicely balanced between, it lives in both those worlds like really well.
It is definitely hoppy. It just, when I think hoppy beers, I think of like, you know, the traditional hop flavor. So I don't, this to me does not record as hoppy, even though there's a shitload of hops in there. And it's all this one hop.
And where are we at, gentlemen? Let's give our listeners a description of the venue, this new gem here in the Mission in San Francisco.
We are at Standard Deviant Brewing. We're at 280 14th on the Los Sonomishmo side of Mission Street.
And just to give the listeners a little description, I love the embossed logo that you've got behind the bar. Classy looking joint. Admittedly, I drove past this thing for like 4-6 months, and I'm like, when is that place going to open?
Well, when we started, we were very limited in our hours, just a couple days a week, a couple hours a week. We've expanded as we've gone, but still pretty hidden. When this door's down, you have no idea what's in here.
Yeah, well, I love the logo. That's what caught me, because I'm like Standard Deviant, and I'm an engineer by degree, so I recognize the Standard Deviation logo. I'm curious, where did you guys get the name for this one?
I come from a science background as well, biology, immunology, and 3-4 years ago when I was trying to figure out how to transition out of that job and into like something super rad like brewing beer, I thought the idea was to get the name first and then everything would follow.
Yeah.
That's wrong. That's very wrong. So I racked my brain for the first like 6 to 9 months and figured out I wasn't really good at naming things like cats and dogs and children and breweries and companies, you know? Everything I typed into the Google machine spit back as already trademarked or like already a brewery or stuff like that.
Tried Budweiser.
So I worked with a naming branding company in Berkeley called 100 Monkeys.
Oh, okay.
And they were really awesome, and they came up with like a bunch of good names. This one spoke to me the strongest, and we went with it. And then like 4 years later, I actually used it to like open a brewery, you know?
can you give us one of the other runner-up
No, definitely
names?
Not. And not through my own like not wanting to do it, but actually the rest
You're
of them.
You're not allowed to.
Yeah, they're in their portfolio.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Well, I still need to introduce you guys to our listeners. I'm here with Mark DeVito and Paul Dewacek, which I think I just got right.
Yeah, nailed it.
Good job.
Here at Standard Deviant, who are the proprietors here?
That's correct.
Is it just you gentlemen? Or
We have a third partner as well.
All right. Well, sorry he couldn't be here. But
yeah, we're not going to tell you his name. Yeah,
that's
either.
Okay. Yeah. That's okay. He'd be drinking our beer.
He'd be drinking our beer.
Can I rewind a little bit?
Absolutely.
I feel like I felt bad immediately. We should probably introduce our third partner.
Yeah, go
He's
for it.
He's integral to the business. His name's Dave Azam, and he is a rad dude. That's his intro.
Rad dude.
Boom,
no, that's,
nailed it.
That's what we try to interview on here. First qualification for an interview on the podcast is being a rad dude.
Well, I'm out.
I was trying to set you up for that one, and I'm glad you knocked it out of the park.
I took it, yeah.
All right, well, we can either do your intros or we can grab our second beer.
We could do both. I'd love to intro Paul.
Fantastic.
This is Paul Dewacek. Really, like, I would say to the listeners, you're very, very lucky this is a podcast and not a video shoot, because he is just ugly. Oh, he's disgusting to look at. He's really brutal to look at.
I feel like we've already established that my voice is really nice.
Your voice is amazing.
Yeah. You sound great. Yeah, no one has to
great
look
for podcasts.
Yeah. Perfect for podcasts. Paul, perfect for podcasts. Paul is the...
PPFP. Yeah. That's what they call me.
Paul, perfect for podcasts. And he is the brewer here from a science background, as he already explained, as well as a home brewing background. Pretty hilarious dude, making really good beer. Paul has a dog named Murphy, believe it or not. I'm guessing he came up with that name because he's already said how good he is at naming things.
No, I did not.
Oh, wow.
Totally stole that name from two other rad dogs.
Also named Murphy.
Also named Murphy.
You didn't steal it from RoboCop.
Can we rewind a bit?
Yeah.
Okay, so it was
PPFP, perfect for podcast Paul.
It actually was two dogs came up to me and both said, Murphy. Like they barked Murphy at me.
Is that at like 422, Paul?
Yeah.
422.
Is it 422? Can we take a break?
Yeah, so that's Paul over here in a nutshell.
Do you want me to go now?
Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Yeah, after what he did to you, I mean.
Before I introduce my business partner, can I just tell the listeners I hate him very much?
Good preface.
So this is my business partner and friend, Mark DeVito. He is the face of the company, I'd say. Dave's more like the brawn, I think. What does that leave? Where am I in
that?
Does
that make you the brains?
I'm the brains.
Yeah.
All right.
Mark
okay.
is the face. And he is the owner and proprietor of several successful bars and restaurants
yeah.
in San Francisco. And I've known him for 15 years?
Somewhere in that range.
Somewhere in that range. Yeah. He is the front of house component for Standard Deviant Brewing, as well as our amazing sales wing. So he takes care of our deliveries and keeps our clients happy.
What these guys don't know is that I'm just independently wealthy.
Okay.
And so all of these accounts that I sell our beer to, I'm just taking the kegs out of here and dumping them out, bringing them right back.
Hey, make sure
you're just throwing them into the Grand Canyon.
Yeah.
No wonder I haven't seen you guys.
Yeah,
around
that's why
town
you haven't seen
yet.
Us around. But we keep selling out of beer.
That's all I got, really. I mean,
dude, you summed it up. That's better than I could have done for me.
You guys can't see Mark. I guess you're going to post some pictures.
Yeah, they'll get some pictures.
I am standing up, though. I'm definitely standing up.
He's a short guy.
Very short.
But he's got an amazing handlebar mustache, so that makes up for it.
I figured that would be a component that was mentioned sooner or later.
I suspect they can just hear it.
Yeah,
that's true.
It's a very audible mustache, to say the least.
Your upper lip does a lot of good work with that thing that the mic can probably pick
up.
Yeah, okay.
I think it's time for beer number
two. There's so many beers in front of us.
I know, it's great. That's great. All right, beer number two, gentlemen. What are
Cheers.
We drinking?
Cheers. This is
again.
A Mosaic Pale Ale.
Ooh. That's a slightly more familiar taste.
Yep.
I hope my slurping came through because really.
It does.
Yeah. You have to do that when you're tasting beer.
Mm-hmm. And is this one of your originals or is this a newer one that you guys just came about with?
Yeah, this was, I think, the second single hop pale we ever made, and it was really well received. And then due to limitations on our brew house, which we've now expanded, which won't be a problem anymore, we sort of had to take it off. People yelled about it. We brought it back again when we had a chance
to. People cheered about it.
And then people cheered about it.
And we're going to bring it back off again in a few weeks. And people
yeah,
got to keep that hype train going.
That's right.
Yeah, and this one I made so it's using all Mosaic hops, which have been around a little bit longer. They're more of like sort of a classic West Coast hop that I think is just like absolutely delicious. It's one of my favorites when I can get it out in beers. Bottles, cans, or at other breweries. I always love it. And this one, compared to the very first one we made, I made a little bit lighter. It's summertime, so I wanted to lighten it up a bit and let more of the hops kind of do the talking. It's been heavily dry hopped, so it's got nice big punchy aroma. Otherwise, it drinks really light.
This is, I think, generally an aromatic hop.
Right? Absolutely.
That was the word I was going to be throwing out there soon.
But used a lot. It's very familiar to you because a lot of people use this in IPAs to add a nice aroma to it at the end. So when you smell it, you're like, this is going to be hoppy and big and hefty, and it's a really light drinking pale ale.
We like our pale ales around here. I just think, in general, pale ales are like, don't get a lot of cred, but they're a very like nicely balanced beer.
Yeah.
Kind of as a category, right?
Well, especially lately, I think, sours, and then when you get into the hoppy beers, IPAs seem to be all the rage these days, so pale ales have kind of taken a back seat, but I appreciate that you guys are giving them the credit that they deserve.
Yeah, we'll keep coming out with them. I like to drink them, so...
Awesome.
He's definitely moving towards finding Paul's Pale Ale, right? That's
PPA.
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 PPFPs.
PFPs. Paul's Pale Ale, perfect for podcasts.
We say it all again.
PPA, PFP.
I love it.
Paul's Pale Ale.
You know, if this means you're thinking of a podcast worldwide branded beer, keep rolling with that idea.
Yeah.
I'd be all about that.
We'll get there. We got two or three more beers to go. We'll get there.
Yeah. Well, let's chat a little bit about nightlife. In the area a little bit, because you guys are no stranger to the nightlife scene in San Francisco. Mark, you've had some positive history here, and Dr. Teeth is another common name around here.
That
but,
is it.
Yeah. You know, let's say we're cruising around this area, and based on some of the spots that you're involved with, where are some spots that you'd recommend people go, and how would you characterize the scene here in San Francisco?
It's a pretty diverse scene, the city. You can kind of find whatever you're looking for. You know, when somebody asks me about the nightlife, I'm like, well, what do you like to do? And it usually throws them off. I'm like, do you want to go find a dive bar that you know, you can shoot pool and get cheap whiskey? Do you want to, you know, find a nightclub where you can dance to whatever you want to dance to? Do you want to find a classy cocktail bar, whatever? Immediately around us, we're right next door to the Armory Club, which is kink.com's bar, because we're right across the street from the Armory, which until recently was full of filth. But luckily they shipped all that sex crap off to Nevada where it belongs.
Yeah, for anyone that's not familiar, the Armory was like basically a massive porn studio, right?
Yeah, it was great. Well, like not just a massive porn studio.
Well, that's where we kept all our guns, like way back.
Way back when it was
like most guns. Armories.
Yes.
It was an actual armory. The guy who bought it, it's hilarious dude. We've come to know him. He bought it and made it into like this like fetish porn studio. So, you know, when we moved in here, we got a lot of people asking us, you know, your name's Standard Deviant, are you related to them? I said no. But so that's there, and this is their bar.
We should have said yes. They're much more successful than we are.
They're well known, yeah. yeah. But, you know, they're getting shipped off to Nevada for all that smut they make.
Yeah, I don't want to make beer in Nevada.
Yeah, we don't want to do that. We should make weed in Nevada because they're out. They're in a state of emergency right now.
Do you call it making weed or do you grow weed? You make weed. You do both.
If you take it from the flower to an oil, that's making something.
Well, we're really in the weeds here, guys.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Dude, that was one of the better puns we've had on here recently.
You have not had very many puns then.
This is beer number two.
Yeah.
We're getting there.
Do we get more puns the more beer we drink?
Yeah, we'll get a lot of puns
awesome.
In this. So next door is a great cocktail bar. Really, like, really excellent cocktails and a great shelf of, you know, all sorts of scotches, mezcals, whiskeys, whatever you want. Great place to go after the brewery to grab a drink, sort of figure your night out. And then I would say walk down Mission Street, stop into Southpaw Barbecue or Westburger to grab a pint of our beer along with some sort of meat.
Yeah.
Whether it be, you know, barbecue or
Southpaw
burger.
Is great. It's been
Southpaw
a while since I've been there.
Yeah,
I didn't realize they had your stuff on there. I might be going back sooner
than
later.
They do, yeah. Our sort of sales strategy has been like, let's just go to every place between here and my bars down the street.
Yeah, yeah.
And slowly just be everywhere.
Makes a lot of sense.
Just makes deliveries easy.
What beer here pairs best with their barbecue?
The Kolsch.
Kolsch?
Yeah.
Good to know.
Yeah, definitely.
I would be my choice as well.
Yep. Luckily, that's what they carry of ours over there, too.
What a coincidence.
I didn't even know that.
Yeah, how about that?
It's nice how that works out that way.
Yeah.
Also, Southpaw makes their own beer. Our good friend and fellow brewer, Ross Halligan, brews down there.
Okay.
Excellent beers.
Yeah. So then from there, you can walk another block up, and you're at the corner of 19th and Mission, where there's like literally everything that you could, most things you could need in a city, just right there. There's this new place, Alvarez, which is like a New Orleans-style, really, really great food, good cocktails, good beers. There's Beauty Bar next door if you want to just, like, get cheap drinks and, like, get your stuff ground on.
For a second, I thought you were going to just tell everybody all the places on Mission where you can get our beer.
I was, yeah.
I thought that's where you were going.
I wouldn't have faulted you for that, to be fair. But we give you an opportunity at the end to talk about some other hot spots.
Everywhere I've mentioned, you could get our beer at some point. And then, you know, right next door to that's Bisop Baobop, which is like a really awesome like Senegalese place, which gets like great DJs in for dancing over there. If you want to keep getting people grinding on you, then across the street you've got Dr. Teeth, which is a total shithole.
Why is it going to that?
Mostly
one a little
bit more? The owner, despite how handsome he is, he's a real piece of shit.
He's a despicable human being.
He's horrible. He's horrible.
And also a short guy.
He's really short.
Yeah, he's very short.
Oh, jeez. Our short audience is not going to be happy with this episode.
Well, we have to stick together.
Must be this tall to listen to this episode.
Yeah, exactly. And you must prove it. Send us your driver's license photo to get it. It's just a great little block over there, and then you can kind of take a right and go up 19th and over to Valencia and loop back down Valencia and hit 1,000 more bars and restaurants.
Sounds like we need to go on a bar crawl. Like, start
here,
dude,
we tried one day, and this was when we were early, too, when we had about half the accounts we have right now. We said, let's do a bar crawl where we hit every one of our accounts. And we made it from Dogpatch Saloon to, I think, Mission Bowl before we all had to tap out. Like, we're done.
Got
we
it.
Made it. Like,
Got
we,
it.
We only made it, like, a mile and a quarter.
That sounds like a bit of a long day, especially if you have a lot of accounts on that route.
There's
no shortage of bars in this neighborhood. It's one of the more dense ones in the city.
Yeah, and, you know, the Mission's just great for nightlife in general. It's got something for everyone.
I do want to mention, you went south. I was going to go north one block and go to Crafty Fox.
I was hoping Crafty Fox would get a shout-out.
Yeah, they just won some well-deserved awards, and they have 36 taps.
36 or 38?
38, yeah. Something like
they're
that.
They're all real fucking good.
Yeah, they're, for the most part, they're
in a well-curated list, I think.
Yep.
Generally, I think they sneak a few in there, but generally Bay Area, right? Like Bay Area and like California breweries in there.
Well, I was just talking to someone about the like the beer bars in San Francisco, and like of my favorites, they're all different. You know, you got Zeitgeist, not too far from here, which is kind of like the everyman's beer bar, but still got that kind of grungy San Francisco feel to it. But
that big outdoor area,
good burger. It's a dive bar beer garden. Yeah. I mean, there are very few places like that.
Can't beat that.
Crafty Fox, like that's kind of the beer nerds bar to an extent. Like the stuff they have there and the stuff they get like on a weekly basis. I mean, we're talking the Fieldworks, we're talking Alvarado Street, we're talking a lot of the really boutique's not the right word, but the very unique breweries or the up-and-comers in the Bay Area.
Really good food, too. great lunch special. Give them a plug for that. $10 for a burger and a beer at lunch.
I did not know that. Oh, that is
great.
A bargain.
Yeah,
that is a bargain in this city.
Yeah.
So head over to the Crafty Fox for lunch. I'll be there tomorrow.
Yeah.
Anyway, we've got about 15 minutes left, and we've got two more beers in front of us. And one thing we like to do on this show is get to know our guests as well. And since there are two of you, we always do it through a drinking story. You guys can opt to tell a drinking story about one another. I'm going to give you guys two.
I might tell a story about Dave.
Ooh. Thrown in partner? The wild card. I like
our
it.
Our other partner, yeah.
All right. No, that would be fair. That's fair game.
So,
especially
beer?
Since he's not here. Yeah, let's go right. Beer first. We'll go beer,
beer
first.
Beer, cool. This is the alt beer, right? I can tell
you
just
were
by
really
the color.
Good. Yeah, that's yeah. Really good, Paul.
Cheers, guys.
Cheers. Yeah, this is a good one, I think. Not a lot of people know this style. And so, like, I guess the elevator pitch is it's a German amber ale.
Mm-hmm.
Simple, right? But it's a little bit more complicated than that, I think. It's amber. It's like a true amber, red, roasty a little, but smooth. There's a lot of malty in mm-hmm. there. And it's very brightly hopped, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And this beer, Alt Beer, A-L-T, means the old beer in German.
Okay.
And so...
Okay.
In Germany, before lagering was really popular, everybody was doing ales, and this style kind of kept on going through the lager craze in that happened over hundreds of years in Germany. So this is a representation of some of the beers that they were brewing way back in the day. And I happen to really like it. It's super crisp, so it's really drinkable. The style I'm talking about, not ours. Ours is crap.
I just dumped mine over my shoulder.
Yeah, I didn't even see you drink it. Yeah. It just ended up on the floor. The style in general is like, it's a lot like a Kolsch in that it's kind of like crisp, dry, but this one has got more malty flavor. Obviously, it's red. It's a red beer. But they come from like two different towns in Germany that are like, you know, 30 minutes away from each other. So,
okay.
So it's a very similar area and region of brewing.
Why is it such a relatively unknown beer? Because admittedly, I don't know a ton about alt beers, and I don't think I see a lot of them these days.
Yeah,
I think everyone from Dusseldorf is inbred.
Oh, okay.
So they don't get the
what
news
I really
about
wanted was
at.
Much more silence after that. I was hoping everybody would be like it was just people would be like, did the podcast turn off or like what? Yeah. It's a really good question, you know. Like, I mean, nobody knew about Kolsch like 3 to 5 years ago,
which ironically is just down the road from Dusseldorf.
Yeah,
that's what we're saying.
Cologne,
Dusseldorf
yeah.
and Cologne, they feud over these things.
I think red beers in general went out of style, really, mm-hmm. with the advent of IPAs. You know, the uprise of IPAs
yeah.
and stuff like that. Somebody should probably correct me on all of this. This is just my general feeling.
I think you're right.
Yeah, no, it's fair. Like, I'm seeing Pilsners kind of making a comeback right now, and those were kind of off the radar for a while. So, I mean, it ebbs and flows. Beers have their day.
Yeah, and I really brewed this a lot when I was home brewing, just out of, you know, you have a lot more flexibility, and I was interested in all these different styles and making all the styles and seeing what I liked. And I've always wanted to make it professionally, always wanted to put it out there for people because I think it's such a delicious beer. I mean, I think its closest large scale representation would maybe be like, what do you think, Mark, like Anchor Steam? Like a steam beer has got that like lager quality to it, but it's like an ale lager. Is it a, what do you think?
Like the most mainstream...
Yeah, maybe like a
this?
Fat tire.
I
fat
was going to say
yeah.
fat tire because,
yeah.
I mean,
tire.
What I got from it was that very malty, roasty kick.
Correct.
So,
correct.
And when I think of that, I equate that to a fat tire just because it's got a very unique spin on an amber.
Yeah, yeah. I know the Alaskan Amber, if people have had that, was an alt beer. Like, that's an alt beer at heart.
What's funny is, this is one of my favorite beers that we have. And you can drink it year-round. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
great. You can actually drink this on, like, a hot...
Yeah. Oh, ambers are one of the more versatile.
Or a cold day, you know. And when I go out to sell this, and people, I'll taste people are like, "Oh, this is really, really good."
Mm-hmm.
And I'll be like, "Just so you know, no one's gonna buy this beer."
Yeah.
Because they're gonna have no idea what it is, and they'll put it on, and they'll, you know, they'll have their alt beer, and then they'll put a little description of it out that says,
mm-hmm.
you know, like traditional German style amber ale, and then they'll start selling it really quickly. So like when people see that, they're like.
Oh, I just thought of a good one. If you're in the Bay Area and you know Fort Point, they're Westphalia Red.
That's an alt beer. Okay, that would be that genre. They call it a Nuremberg inspired.
Yeah, I don't think
red
they're
ale.
Calling it an alt beer, but it's like a really close.
Yeah.
That's really close.
Yeah,
it's about as close as you're gonna get.
All right.
Yeah. Love that beer, by the way.
It's a great beer.
Great beer.
I'm a fan of this one, especially because I don't get to try it very often.
Yeah.
Very well done.
Well, now when you see it, you should try it.
Yeah, well, I might be sticking around for another one of these afterwards. But
what do you think, man?
We're kicking you out after
yeah.
that.
I'm out of here. Yeah. yeah,
we've got another round of beers, but we're kicking you out, and Mark and I are going to drink them.
Yeah, that's we're going to drink them all, well, and then we're going to fight over who gets the second. One.
Maybe I won't let you tell that drinking story now.
Hey, man. Yeah, I didn't come up with anything until the end there, where at one of my bars, you know, every year there's Negroni Week, and everyone makes their take on a Negroni, and all you know, you sell it and you donate a couple bucks to. I don't know which cause Negroni Week supports, but it's some pretty rad charity. And you know, I've never really been a fan of like the snooty cocktail culture. Well, I take that not that I've never been a fan of doing that. I think it's actually like a pretty awesome thing that is out there. It's just not my style. But so what I did is like, all right, Negroni Week, and what we did was we did Negroni bombs, where I made Negronis and we bombed the shots into half Fort Point Reds. And everyone was like, no. I was like, just do it. And all of a sudden, it turned into, like, our number one seller for the week.
That actually sounds pretty good.
It was so delicious.
I was lost into
it. It was, like, a little bitter, like, dropped into it. Yeah. And
so what did you call that shot?
Just a Negroni bomb.
A Negroni bomb?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I've done it a few times here with our Underberg, which is, like, a German, like, very, like, bitter, licorice-y thing. And you dump an Underberg in an alt beer and pound it. And it's quite nice.
I'm struggling to think of a drinking story. Most of them, when I go out drinking with Mark, end up in pain and misery for myself, and he just seems to bounce right back, you know.
Right.
So my drinking story is not to try and match Mark while we're out drinking.
I have a couple friends that I have that same philosophy towards as well.
Yeah.
Well,
I think I called you a drunk.
You
man.
Did. You definitely did.
that was good.
For anybody like actually paying attention to this, there's factual evidence that I'm notorious for throwing drinks over my shoulder. So that's what I do half the time with you, is I just buy two shots and you take one and I just threw it over my shoulder.
That is a good story.
Yeah.
Great story, man. Thanks.
Well,
once
done,
on my birthday, people were buying me drinks left and right, and it was just, I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. So I was like, thanks so much. And I took the shot and I threw it right over my shoulder and it hit some poor guy right in the eyeball.
What was it a shot of?
Tequila.
Ooh.
It went right in his eye, and he was like, and I was like, I'm so sorry, man. I was pretty drunk at this point, and like tried to apologize. And I was like, it's my birthday. This is my bar. Everyone's fucking. He's like, it's cool, man. And then he kept like, and I couldn't like accept that he wouldn't accept my apology.
Didn't click for you.
Didn't click. So I like followed him like halfway down the street. Be like, what can I do for him?
You can stop following.
He was like,
please,
I get it. You're sorry about that. We're not friends. Stop talking to me.
That was good. No, that qualifies as a good drinking story right there. You guys nailed it. Like, you kind of told one of your own in terms of, you know, you not being able to keep up with Mark and then, of course, hitting people in the eye with tequila. Anyone listening, try not to hit someone in the eye with tequila.
Yeah, please don't do
that,
it. It's not nice.
That hurt just listening to it. Well, we've got one more beer in front of us, and then I've got some wrap-up questions.
I have a question. I have another question for Mark, actually.
Absolutely, yeah. This is a three-way interview.
When you threw the tequila at him, did you throw salt in his eye and then tequila, and then you squirted?
I squirted a lime in his eye afterwards.
I had him
snort some salt, and then I did that.
Oh, I've done that before.
Yeah.
That's also a good drinking story.
Yeah. You did the shot where you snort the salt.
I'm just going to leave it out there. I'm just going to leave that
hanging. You snort the tequila. You squeeze the lime in your eye. You snort the salt.
Oh god!
Shoot the tequila.
You shoot the tequila.
Why would you not?
Yeah,
shoot
and then you
the
squeeze
tequila.
The lime in your eye.
Yeah, yeah,
it's a great gift to give to your friends.
That sounds awful. That sounds terrible. But you guys feel very cool and collective about that.
Well, people think that it's the other way around is the thing. You know, like they think you taste the salt, like you lick the salt, and then you take the shot, and then you.
No.
Like the lime chases it.
No, that's stupid.
But if you're going to do a shot of shitty tequila.
Yeah, really experience
then you
should
that. Just have all
just
of the
really
pain.
Experience
yeah.
it. Okay.
How to take a proper tequila shot.
Well, no, don't do that with good tequila.
Well, that's only with bad tequila.
If you've made the decision to be like, I'll just have the well tequila.
Right. With
like,
good...
Then you should really punish yourself. Like for a dollar more, you can get a really nice tequila.
Well, so what you're saying is with good tequila, you snort the salt, you sip the tequila slowly. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and then you slowly squeeze the lime in your eye. So it's like a slow drips, you can really enjoy it.
Okay.
There's a reason I'm a successful bar owner.
Is it 4:23? I gotta take a break.
Man, time has just stopped.
Time is a flat circle, right?
It's true.
Last beer. What are we drinking right now?
This is an oatmeal stout. Mm. Cheers.
Cheers, folks.
I really
this
like
this.
This
is the new one.
Yeah, I really like this one. This is a beer that we make exclusively for the tasting room here.
Okay.
And for Elixir over on 16th and Guerrero.
Okay.
We've worked with them on a few projects, but like this one we make for them that for their like house like stout over there. And we age some of it in these barrels, one of those Buffalo Trace barrels is from them. So then we'll do like a release of that with that bourbon over there.
Okay. This is a thick oatmeal stout.
Its first name is Alan. Alan
yeah,
Thick
this
Stout.
Is an Alan Thick Stout.
Yeah. That was a joke, right?
Mm. Was it a joke?
Yeah, that was a joke, right?
None of this has been a joke
okay,
for me. I'm extremely serious. I'm an extremely serious man. Also, it was not a joke. Its okay. name is Alan Thick Stout.
No, mm-hmm. I nailed it then.
Dr. Alan Dr. Stout. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think the idea is to eventually put this on nitro. We need to do a little bit of investment in a nitrogenation. Is that how you say that word?
You did. That's how you said it.
That's how I said it. A system to properly get this beer full of nitrogen, and then we can send them out that way. But yeah, I think in general, I mean, I like a good, like kind of thick drinking stout.
Yeah.
And I played around with a few different types of oatmeal that you can get out there in the brewing world and came up with a blend that I liked and just made it nice and robust. And I'm using a lot of debittered roasted malt. So they take the outer layer of the barley off before they roast it, and that outer layer contributes tannins. Same thing okay. about like grape skins and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Makes dark roasted malts oftentimes very bitter. Mm-hmm. So what I'm trying to do here is make like a nice thick kind of easy drinking stout that's also tastes roasty in a non-bitter way.
Well, it's a good beer to wrap up our show on. What I did want to ask you guys before we close it out was, what's next for Standard Deviant?
Well, we're hoping after this podcast to take this podcast thing on the road. I think we're such good guests that we could do this all over.
Let me ask you a question
US
about
tour?
That.
Okay.
Are we going to get like a van, like a podcasting van, and actually like podcast while we're on the road? Or are we going to different cities with the podcast?
Both.
I'm in.
You guys aren't going to... I've already done a podcast inside of a van before that had like a tap in the back. For anyone
like
listening, episode 6 with Boulevard Brewing on their road
cool.
trip.
Oh,
check
cool.
Out,
oh, nice.
Out in Kansas fun. City? Is that where they are?
You nailed it.
Were you in Kansas or Missouri? Which one?
So
they
were here, actually. They were driving. They were on their road trip through here.
They, yeah,
no, it was a really cool setup. But yeah, we should do that. That sounds like a lot of fun.
But seriously, though, we just, as you can see, as the listeners can't, but I bet they can imagine, we just put these three big tanks in this week. Yeah, like we've been pretty sore. Paul and I just were lifting them, like pressing them.
I mean, they're like 2,000 or 3,000 pounds.
Yeah, they're pretty
so
heavy.
So we're real sore.
Yeah.
Real strong, too.
And you were just you were individually lifting them. No mutual help there.
Yep. Yeah. No help from anyone or machines. But so we put those in, and sort of the next step is making a lot more beer, getting into some canning, hopefully by the end of the year. I'm starting to reach different audiences, because right now it's... You're either coming to the tap room or it's keg sales only.
Yeah.
So we'll be able to really get out there more, get into some, you know, bodegas and corner stores and bars that don't have draft programs and or bars that have draft programs that are pretty like established already and they just want your cans.
Mm-hmm.
So doing that, and you know, we've been throwing the idea around of trying to open a second tap room somewhere, just like a little small auxiliary, you know, pop-up style tap room in the East Bay somewhere to start getting out across the water.
And what is the best way to connect with you guys? Where's the best spot to find you?
You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Facebook. Come into the tap room. One of us is always here. Between me and Paul and Dave, one of the three of us is always here.
I'm going to recommend the tap room route for all our listeners.
Yeah, the tap room's great.
If you want to email Dave, Dave, at standarddeviantbrewing.com.
It's funny you mentioned that, actually, Paul, because I was just saying what we could do. We'd love to take a bunch of text messages from people.
Can we do it right now? Is this live?
Text questions at 415-860-849.
Oh, that's great. That's a great idea.
Man, if you had finished it off, that would have been one of the better gags on the pubcast so far. But
no, I didn't want to give you our bartender's email for that. I'll give you you can text me directly at 802-598-3692.
Love
and please do. Mark loves to answer text message
I love
questions.
It. Yeah.
But actually, in all seriousness, if you want to get in touch with us via email, it's info@standarddeviantbrewing.com.
Perfect.
All one word. And all of us will get it. We'll respond to you. We love hearing from folks.
Awesome. Well, you guys are doing great things here in the Mission. With that, gentlemen, thank you
Cheers.
For your time
Cheers.
Today.
Cheers. Cheers.
Thank you so much. Cheers. Appreciate it.
And for everyone listening, we'll see you again next time.
WTF, there's no motherfucking beer left. I said WTF, there's no motherfucking beer left.
Hey, thanks for listening. And yeah, since we're at the end, there is no beer left. As such, that was The Fuck Off and Dies with their tune WTF, There's No Beer Left. Head over to fuckoffanddies.com to check them out and hear plenty other songs about partying. Another big thanks to the guys at Standard Deviant Brewing for jumping on the show today. As relative newcomers to the San Francisco beer scene, they're making a quick name for themselves, and you should definitely plan on making a visit to their Mission District brewery and taproom if you're in town. Finally, if you want to keep up to date with news on new breweries like Standard Deviant and other pubcast-related updates and deals on beer-related gifts, make sure to sign up for the Brews Letter. That's the name of our e-newsletter at pubcastworldwide.com. Stay thirsty for the next episode, folks, because it's coming real soon. Cheers!